Gato, Apostle Paul, preach what you have seen and what you have heard. And today, it's the same. We have to testify what we have seen and what we have heard and what we have experienced from God. And after we listen to the testimony, then we have to practice it, put all the testimony into the practice. Like Paul tells us, whatever you heard, whatever you have seen, whatever you have learned from me, just do it, practice it. Then the peace of God will be with you. Okay. And I thank God, today we have three sisters, no brothers. So brother, wake up, cheer up. Sister Johnny Wu and Sister Johnny Ye. She has the same last name as mine. And Sister Anissa Liu. Okay. And each one of the three has 20 or 25 minutes, around 25 minutes. Okay. And before 3 minutes, your time's up. And Sister Zhou will ring a small bell, you know, very tiny. You got to be attentive. Okay.
请低头默祷.
Let's bow our heads and pray in silence.
Hallelujah. 奉主耶稣圣名，我在这边做见证.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I bear testimony.
因为周传道娘昨天晚上大概10点才找到我要做见证，所以我没有很多时间准备.
So because Sister Zhou just asked me to testify yesterday at 10 p.m., so I didn't have a lot of time to prepare.
但是我还是很感谢神能够给我这个机会，让我
I really thank God for giving me the opportunity to testify here, even though I didn't have much time to prepare.
那我要对不起那个TJ，因为我刚才在上课的时候才准备。
And I have to say sorry to Pastor Zhang because I was preparing during his sermon.
那首先我先介绍我的名字，我是Joanne。
So I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Joanne.
那我是属于伯恩教会。
And I'm from Baldwin Park Church.
我大概在3年前的时候来到美国。
I came to the United States around 3 years ago.
那我来美国主要是为了要留学。
And I came here to study abroad.
那来美国差不多半年之后，有借由一位姐妹的带领，所以我就进入教会。
Half a year after I came to the United States, through a sister, I came to the church.
那我大概在去年3月的时候受洗。
And I was baptized around March of last year.
那位大学同学就是 Sister Erica. 我想很多人都认识她.
And so my classmate was Sister Erica. I think many of you know her.
对，我们在台湾的时候就是大学同学.
And I knew her back when I was in college in Taiwan.
那我跟她在台湾的时候去过几次教会.
And I went with her to church many times when I was in Taiwan.
但是我没有真的说很用心的想要去了解道理。
But I never put my heart to learn more about the gospel.
那后来我们两个都一起来到美国，她比我早来一年。
And so later on, we both came to the United States. She came 1 year before I did.
那她第一次找到我的时候，她一直都是在 Phoenix.
And so at first, she was always in Phoenix.
那大概在2003年年底的时候，她来也是伯恩教会有一个学生灵恩会。
And at the end of year 2003, she also came to Baldwin Park Church to a spiritual convocation.
然后她是当辅导员.
And she was the counselor in the SSC.
所以她就把我带来这边.
And so she also brought me here.
那所以第一天她就带我来参加那个SSC.
And so she brought me here on the first day of SSC.
不过当时我是只是一个慕道者, 然后我很久很久，大概三四年都没有去教会。
And so I was a truth seeker, and I haven't been to the church for 3 or 4 years.
然后我就要，比如说早上要很早就起来，然后要进食祷告，中午也要祷告，晚上也要祷告。
And so in SSC, you have to wake up very early in the morning, fast for breakfast, and then you have to pray at lunchtime and also dinner time.
那因为对一个慕道者而言，这是很难的事情。
And so it was pretty trying for a truth seeker.
所以第二天我就跑掉了。
And so I left the second day.
那不过因为这个原因，所以伯恩教会有很多弟兄姐妹都认识我。
But because of this, many brothers and sisters in Baldwin Park Church know about me.
那所以他们就会打电话给我，要我继续来教会。
So they would call me to invite me back to the church.
那因为我不好意思拒绝，所以我也继续来了。
So because I didn't want to refuse them, so I continued to come back.
那来了之后，就大概过两个月，他们告诉我说你可以求圣灵。
And so after I came for about 2 months, they said that I could try to pray for the Holy Spirit.
然后我就在一个福音茶会得到圣灵。
And so at a gospel night, I received the Holy Spirit.
那我其实没有很太大的那个感觉得到圣灵的时候。
So even though when I received the Holy Spirit, I didn't feel a lot.
我只知道我跪下去之前有一个姐妹就跟我说，Joanne, 你这次一定要得到圣灵。
I just remember before I knelt down, a sister told me, Joanne, you have to receive the Holy Spirit this time.
那因为那句话，所以我就祷告比较认真一点。
Because of what she said, I prayed extra hard.
然后传道，祷告完之后，传道就说你得到圣灵。
And after the prayer, the pastor told me that I received the Holy Spirit.
然后我当时是坐在椅子上就不相信，因为我觉得我根本就什么都没有感觉。
And I sat on the pew and I was dumbfounded because I felt like I didn't feel anything.
但是我是有讲灵言，是。
But I know that I spoke in tongues.
对，然后所以得到圣灵之后，我回家，我虽然没有很大的得圣灵的体验，但是我因为就是觉得，因为大家都说圣灵这个东西很宝贵，所以我回家之后反而就不敢不祷告，我还是继续有的时候会用灵言祷告。
And so when I went home, I know that I didn't feel anything great, and I always hear that after you receive the Holy Spirit, you have this great feeling, and so I didn't dare but continue to pray at home.
其实我一直都就算是得到圣灵，我一直都还是没有办法真的了解道理是什么。
So even though I received the Holy Spirit, I still didn't understand a lot of the teachings.
然后，神给我机会，让我在伯恩教会的，就是有很多机会可以听那个讲道的录音带。
And God gave me many opportunities to hear cassette tapes or sermon tapes.
对，所以我那时候就听了非常非常多的录音带。
And so at that time, I listened to many many sermons.
那其实我那时候其实也没有什么太大的体验。
And but I didn't have a really great experience of God yet.
不过因为听那些道理，那都是很基础的道理，所以我就慢慢慢慢就一点一滴的了解说这个耶稣是怎么一回事啊，他死了是又是怎么一回事。
And so the sermons were very fundamental teachings. They teach you about who Jesus is and things like that.
但是体验跟我听到的道理还是连不起来。
But yet I still couldn't connect my experience with the teachings that I was hearing.
所以那时候我就是我已经得到圣灵，然后过了几个月了，他们说你其实可以考虑要不要受洗。
And so since I received the Holy Spirit after a few months, they asked me to consider baptism.
但是我还是一直都就是拒绝受洗。
But I always refused baptism.
那这件事情那个 Erica 她也知道。
And so Erica also knew about this matter.
那所以她就跟那个 Phoenix 就是 TJ 好像有讨论过这件事情。
And so I think she discussed this matter with Peter Jung.
Yeah, and then 那个 TJ 他就跟 Erica 说你不用担心，他说 I'm so sure that she'll get baptized one day.
And so he told her Erica not to worry, saying I'm sure she'll get baptized someday.
然后我就觉得哇，传道的信心果然比较大。
And I thought, no wonder he's a pastor, he has a great faith.
对，然后后来就真的经过一段时间，大概经过八个月的时间。
And so after 8 months.
那我就慢慢的把我听到的道理，然后跟圣灵在我心里，就是圣灵的那个运作，把它连在一起。
I slowly was able to connect the movement of the Holy Spirit with the teachings I was hearing.
那所以我就在祷告中就能够体会到那种就是很喜悦、很感动的感觉。
And so in my prayers, I started to feel very joyous.
而且我也就是。感觉上好像可以尝到就是在神里面那种很甜的滋味。
I can almost feel the sweetness and taste the sweetness of God.
但是我真的决定要受洗其实是透过一个梦。
And I actually decided to get baptized because of a dream.
那我记得我那时候就是还在迟疑要不要受洗的时候，然后我就梦见我 我要走一个独木桥，从这一头要走到另外一头。
I remember when I was deliberating whether to get baptized or not. In my dream, I was walking from one end of the bridge to the other end.
然后走到一半的时候，就有一头蛇跑出来。
When I was halfway across the bridge, there was a serpent.
然后我那时候不知道哪里来的勇气，我就一把抓住那个蛇的头。
And I don't know where I found courage, but I took out my hands and grabbed the snake's head.
就是很轻松这样把它抓住，然后往旁边一丢。
It felt really easy. I just took it by its head and shook it aside.
然后我就很顺利从这一头走到另外一头。
And so I was very successful in crossing from one end of the bridge to the other.
然后后来我就想说，其实好像你决定要不要受洗，那个阻力啊，其实好像都是来自于自己。
And I feel like it's as if the motivation you get from baptism comes from yourself.
也就是说，如果你愿意把那个障碍自己伸手把它除掉的话，其实根本就没有什么阻碍而言。
Meaning, if you're able to remove your own obstacles, actually there isn't any obstacle.
对，就好像其实我一直觉得，好像神在台湾的时候，我有这样的感觉，就是其实我在台湾的时候就已经知道要怎么样祷告。
And actually, when I was back in Taiwan, I had this feeling. At that time, I already know how to pray.
对，因为我就是 Erica 带我去过教会，所以她有教我怎么祷告，所以我就在不自觉的时候就会自己祷告。
And so because Erica taught me how to pray, I knew how to pray, and so sometimes I would pray.
但是都是默祷那种。
But I usually just pray in silence.
所以后来我决定要受洗，我就回顾我以前的那些经历。
And so as I was going to get baptized, I thought about all the past experiences I had.
我觉得其实神一直要抓，就是一直要抓，伸手要抓住我。
I realized that all along God wanted to reach out His hand and to hold mine.
但是我之前一直都不愿意伸手让他抓。
But I was never willing to let go of my hand to hold His.
那我觉得如果你一旦愿意伸出手的话，其实神好像没有那么远，好像不是说遥不可及。
And actually, if you're willing to hold out your hand, then God is not so far away.
那我后来觉得说，其实你传福音，如果神不跟你同在，你真的很难去让一个慕道者进入教会。
And also, if you were to evangelize and God is not with you, then it is very difficult for a true seeker to come to church.
对，我觉得如果神没有在我的祷告里面感动我，或者是圣灵没有感动我的话。其实我应该也不会继续来教会。
I feel like if God didn't touch me in my prayers and the Holy Spirit didn't touch me, then I probably would not come back to church.
然后另外一件事我觉得很感动，就是其实很多慕道者到教会不是一开始不是因为神的关系。
Another thing that touched me is that actually many truth seekers, when they come to church, it is not because they were touched by God.
我不应该这样讲，应该说他们来教会其实我一来的时候，我根本什么道理都听不懂。
Actually, let me rephrase that. When I first came to church, I didn't understand anything.
对，因为这个道理不是说你一进来，然后你这样听，然后你就忽然恍然大悟。
Because the teachings of the Bible isn't something where you hear and you will just completely understand.
那至少对我而言是这样子，所以我那时候还继续来教会，主要是因为教会里面弟兄姐妹的爱。
At least it was like that for me. And when I first came to church, it was because of the love of the brothers and sisters.
那他们那时候给我很多的支持啊，关心啊，这样子。
And they gave me a lot of support and they cared about me.
所以那时候我决定要受洗的时候，那个我的好朋友他就从 Phoenix 过来这边。
And so when I decided to get baptized, my good friend flew here from Phoenix.
那是去年的春季灵恩会。
And that was in the spring spiritual convocation of last year.
那我的朋友他就因为这件事情，所以他就全程就禁食三天。
And because of this matter, my friend fasted for me 3 days.
我觉得有时候你很可能为你的亲人禁食，你常常为你自己禁食。
And I think that it's easy to fast for yourself or for your family members.
所以你有时候会为你的工作，你会为你的婚姻啊，一大堆理由禁食。
You may pray fast for your work, for your marriage, or a lot of other reasons.
但是我的朋友他愿意为一个他跟他没有血缘关系的人禁食三天。
But But my friend was willing to fast for somebody who had no blood relationship with her for 3 days.
所以有时候我觉得透过教会弟兄姐妹，你真的可以看见基督的爱。
And so through the brothers and sisters, you can really see the love of Christ.
那后来我就受洗了。
And so later I was baptized.
那其实受洗之后有很长的一段适应过程。
After I got baptized, I had a period of adjustment.
因为我觉得好像受洗之后，大家就觉得，哎，你是我们其中一份子。
Because after baptism, everybody thinks that you are a part of the group now.
所以你会觉得好像那关心就没有跟以前一样那么多。
So you feel like their care and concern for you is not the same as before.
那当然我不是说教会人都不关心就新受洗的人。
Of course, I'm not saying that church members don't show their concern for newly baptized members.
只是说这是一个过渡阶段，然后当时我并没有察觉说，以前是人家来找你，现在是你自己要去找神。
Actually, it's just a crossover point. In the beginning, in the past, people will come and look for you, but now it is your turn to look for God.
对，然后我刚才在讲那个，就是一个朋友会为另外一个朋友，然后禁食三天。
And so I was talking about a friend of fasting for another friend.
然后在那里面我可以看得到，就是神的爱真的是很伟大。
And so from that I can see how great the love of God is.
那就让我记得大概在两三个礼拜前在我来参加 NYTS。
And I remember 2 to 3 weeks ago before I came to NYTS.
那因为我在就是跟人与人相处那个人际关系上有一些 struggle这样子。
Because I usually have my struggles when it comes to interpersonal relationships.
然后那一阵子我就觉得好像我好像会从别人的口中得到一个讯息，就是我是一个坏的基督徒。
And I seem to get this message from other people. The message is that I am a bad Christian.
就是有很多圣经我不懂，然后 就是很多，我也不常祷告什么的。
Which means that I don't know a lot about the Bible, and also I don't pray often.
那其实这些话是很伤人的。
Actually, these words are very hurtful.
因为其实我是一个自尊心很强的人，所以我觉得你不能说没有看到，然后就这样子讲。
And because I have high self confidence, and so I feel like you can't say something when you don't know about it.
就是有点像是我，就是 pride 这样。所以，所以我回家之后就，这是我记得最深刻的一个祷告，就是那一次我跪下来祷告之后，就全程都从头哭到尾。
So because I have pride, and so when I went back, I cried in my prayer.
因为我觉得我知道我自己不够好。
Because I know that I am not good enough.
然后我也知道我还有很多东西需要学习。
I know there are many things I still need to learn.
但是我就跟耶稣讲说，我真的是有一颗很愿意的心，不然我干嘛要受洗？
But I told Jesus that I really have a very willing heart, otherwise I would not have gotten baptized.
那所以我就在祷告的过程中，我真的深深的感觉到。 就是耶稣跟着我一起哭。And
so through my prayers, I felt from the depth of my heart that Jesus was crying with me.
其实当你心里很忧伤的时候，其实神是很舍不得的。Actually,
God can't bear to see us when we are very sorrowful in our hearts.
因为如果你想象你自己有孩子，你的小孩一直对你大哭，然后很伤心，你身为父母的心里应该也会很伤心。Because
if you have children, and if your children cry to you, then you also feel terrible inside.
所以我那个时候就真的就跟神说，我真的愿意。So
I told God that I am willing.
但是我不喜欢就是有人来试探我的信仰。But
I don't like it when other people come and tempt my faith.
那还有另外一个祷告，我记得也是在更前一阵子。And
there's yet another prayer I had a while ago.
然后我也是在祷告，就是求神给我力量。我那时候好像生活上有一些困难。And
because I was going through some difficulties at that time, I prayed to God for strength.
那我记得我在祷告的时候，也是就是跟神 讲我心里遇到的困难，还有一些忧伤。
And so my prayers, I told God the problems that I have, and also the sorrows I have in my heart.
然后那时候就有一个意念进到我心里。
And that time a thought came to mind.
就是好像耶稣在跟我说，你不用，他说你不用那么难过。
It's as if Jesus is telling me you don't have to feel so bad.
他说只要你心里想我的话，我就会给你力量。
As long as you think about me in your heart, I will give you strength.
那我一听到这个，我就哭得更大声。
When I heard this, I cried even louder.
因为你看，你什么事，你什么都不用做。
Because see, I don't have to do anything.
你只要用你一点点的力气吧，你只要想他，他就说他会给你力量。
I have to put out so little effort. All I have to do is think about him, and he will give me strength.
其实这是一个就是学习的过程。我一直在祷告当中，就是学习怎么样跟神更靠近。
Actually, this is a learning process. That through my prayers, I'm learning how to draw closer to God.
我而且我真的确信神会给我力量。
And I truly believe that God will give me strength.
那今年一月的时候，我从学校毕业了。
And I graduated from school in January of this year.
然后那时候我大概身上只剩下200块。
And at that time, I only had $200 left.
那神一直很祝福我。我以前在台湾念书的时候，高中、大学我都不用付学费。
And God has always blessed me when I was in Taiwan, when I didn't have to pay a penny when I went to high school and college.
那我来到美国之后，这边学费很贵，所以我把我自己的钱一下子就花完了。
And because the tuition in the United States is very high, I spent my savings on it.
那所以我的父母是有就是帮助我一些。
And so my parents helped me a little.
那但是毕业之后，我就觉得还是不要再跟他们要求帮助。
But after I graduated, I didn't want them to have to help me anymore.
所以当我毕业的那，就是一月的时候，我只剩下200块。
And so in January, when I graduated, I only had $200 left.
所以我那在想说，我要不就是要买一张机票回台湾。
And so I was contemplating that I could buy a ticket back to Taiwan.
但是200块好像不够。
But I don't think $200 will do.
那就表示我要找一个工作。
So which means I have to find a job.
但是那个我觉得找工作好像也是有一点困难。
And I felt like it was also really hard to find a job.
但是我就请一些教会同龄帮我先祷告。
And I asked some brothers and sisters to pray with me.
后来我就找到一个电话。
And then later, I got a telephone number.
那个电话是大概一个月前人家给我的。
And this phone number was a number that someone gave me a month ago.
所以我就想说试试看，打打看，搞不好他们还没有找到人。
And so I said I might as well give it a try. Maybe they haven't found anybody for the position yet.
那所以我就打电话，早上打电话给他们，然后跟他们在电话里面谈。
And so I called them in the morning and I chatted with them.
然后下午的时候，他们就说你可以来 interview.
And in the afternoon, they told me that I can go in for an interview.
那我就跟他们谈了大概两三个小时。
And so I talked to them for about 2 to 3 hours.
就他们就说很希望我可以留下来帮他们工作。
And they hope that I can stay and work with them.
那我那时候很高兴，因为就是你看电话是很旧的电话。
And so that time I was very happy because the phone number was an old one.
然后我只是早上打一个电话，下午去 interview， 然后我就找到工作。
And all I did was make a phone call in the morning and went in for an interview in the afternoon and I found a job.
所以我觉得神其实是都有在预备。
And I felt like God is always preparing for me.
只要你愿意就是向他祷告，把事情交给他。
As long as you're willing to pray to him and to rely on him.
不过这个找工作的过程，他也有教我一些事情。
And through this experience of finding a job, I also learned some things.
应该不是说教，应该说教训。
It should be some lessons that I had from him.
因为那个是一个学校，那就是教美术的学校。
Because the job I meant is an art school.
那所以礼拜六、礼拜天要工作。
And so you have to work on Saturdays and Sundays.
然后礼拜一、礼拜二放假。
And you have your break on Mondays and Tuesdays.
所以在 interview 的时候，我就说我不能礼拜六我不能工作。
So in the interview, I already told them I can't work on Saturdays.
他们就说哦，没有问题，那你就以后你有时间再来工作就好了。
And they said no problem, just come when you have time.
那后来我就再回去，过了几天再回去那个学校的时候。
And so after a few days, I went back to the school.
然后他们就跟我说，哦，因为有一个老师要去生孩子，所以礼拜六你必须要来工作。
They told me that because one of the teachers is about to give birth, so that means you have to come and work on Saturdays.
然后我不知道为什么，那时候我虽然有想要拒绝他。
That time I really wanted to refuse them.
但是我一想到找工作的过程是很难的，然后我好不容易得到一个，我不能就这样放弃。
But I thought about how hard it was to find a job, and actually it's very hard, and I can't just let it go so easily.
所以我就说，好吧，那我可以就是礼拜六的时候来上班，大概两三个月等那个老师生完孩子回来。
And so I said, all right, I can work on Saturdays for these 2-3 months that the teacher is away.
结果我就晚上回家准备要睡觉的时候。
So at night when I was about to go to sleep.
我就先回到我的学校去上网。
I went back to school to get online.
我就在网络上遇到我的好朋友。
And online, I saw my good friend.
他就跟我讲说，他就说你这样子是很不好的。
And she told me that, you know, this is not good.
他说如果这真的是神给你的工作，他一定会让你礼拜六的时候可以来教会。
She says that if this job is given to you by God, then He will let you come to church on Saturdays for sure.
然后听完之后，心里就是有一种很难受的感觉。
And after I heard this, I felt really bad inside.
所以我就打电话给另外一个姐妹。
So I called another sister.
所以就是询问她的意见。
To ask for her advice.
那她也说，哎呀，这烂工作要辞掉。
And she says, this is such a terrible job, you should quit.
然后那天回家之后，我就准备要睡觉，然后我就开始就是身体很不舒服。
And so that night when I was at home, I was getting ready to go to sleep, but I felt there's something wrong with my body.
我就全身开始发冷，然后整个晚上睡不着。
I had cold chills and I couldn't fall asleep.
然后心跳非常非常快。
And my heartbeat was really fast.
然后整夜都这样子。
And that lasted the entire night.
所以我就大概三更半夜不知道几点，我就跟神说，好了，我明天会早起把工作辞掉。
And so sometime in the middle of the night, I...told God that, all right, I'll quit my job tomorrow.
所以后来我就第二天就起一大早，然后回到那个学校。
And so the next morning, I went back to the school.
我跟那个老板讲说，我没有办法在这边工作，因为我礼拜六就是不能工作。
I told the boss that I can't work here because I just can't work on Saturdays.
然后他就一直说服我，大概讲，一直讲，一直讲，四个小时。
He tried to persuade me for 4 hours.
我一直说真的不行，我真的不行。
I told him I really, really can't.
不过他真的是想要留我，所以他就说我们礼拜一、礼拜二放假。
But he really wanted me to work, so he says that we rest on Mondays and Tuesdays.
那你礼拜二自己来上班好了。
Why don't you come back to work on Tuesday by yourself?
那礼拜六你就可以放假。
So you can take a day off on Saturday.
对，然后我不想再做错误的决定，所以我就打电话给那个姐妹。
So because I didn't want to make any more mistakes, I called a sister.
我问她说，这样我可以接这个工作吗？
I asked her, so now can I take this job?
她就说，哦，可以啊。
She says, yes.
不过她说最好是礼拜五晚上也可以来啊。
She says, it's better if you can also come to church on Friday evening.
哦，因为那个工作是就是一直要到晚上九点。
Because the work is until 9 p.m.
那所以这就是我从找工作里面得到的一个教训。
So this is a lesson that I received through finding a job.
那就是本来只剩下200块，可是后来就因为有了这份工作，所以我还可以活到现在。
And so at first I only had $200, but because of this job, I'm able to live until today.
嗯，不过这个工作我前一阵子又辞掉。
But a while ago I quit the job.
我会觉得神其实都会帮你预备好。
I feel like God will always make preparations for you.
我刚来美国的时候就是只带两个皮箱。
When I came to the States, I brought with me just 2 suitcases.
就是不是书就是衣服。
And all I had was clothes and books.
那其实现在如果你到我的房间，除了那个床是我自己买的。
And actually, if you go to my room, other than the bed that I bought for myself,
其他的东西像是电视啊、音响啊
，everything else, the TV and the sound system.
那到小的东西，比如说垃圾桶啊、一盏灯啊
，even smaller things like the trash bin and also the lamps.
其实都是神赐给我，我没有花一毛钱去买。
Actually, these are all given to me by God. I didn't spend any money on them.
其实大家可以看那个马太福音十三章四十四节。
Let's all turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44.
他说：“天国好像宝贝藏在地上，人遇见了就把它藏起来，欢欢喜喜的去变卖一切所有的买这块地。”那我觉得我刚来的时候，我真的不知道我会找到什么东西。
Actually, when I first came, I didn't think that I would find anything.
我只知道我什么东西都会没有，钱我会没有，然后在台湾的工作我会没有。
I just know that I will lose everything. I know I will spend a lot of money, and I also lost my job in Taiwan.
那我很感谢神，他让我在美国找到了这个宝贝。
I really thank God for letting me find this treasure in the States.
那其实受洗之后，每一天都是一个。都是在学，我学怎么样跟神更亲近。
After actually every day after baptism is a learning process. I learn how to draw closer to God.
我也不知道我未来会到哪里去。
I don't know where I will end up in the future.
但是我觉得有神带领，其实很多事情都不用担心。
But I know that if God is guiding, then there are many things that I don't have to worry about.
那我的见证到此。
This concludes my testimony.
那愿一切尊贵荣耀都归给天上的神。
May all the honor and praise be to the God in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I testify for his name. First, my name is Joni Ye, and I'm from Chicago. I originally grew up in Philadelphia, so if you have any questions about those two cities, if you'd like to go there for school, look for a job there. They need people there. You can ask me any questions about them. I would also like to testify along the lines of Sister Joanne about how God gave me a job. It was indeed a miracle. But before I begin, I would like us to all read a verse together. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's all read it together. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So I'm going to share with you today how God added to me a job, a wonderful job. It was my senior year. At the beginning of my senior year in college, my parents had just moved to Chicago. My dad was stationed in Chicago, and my mom... also miraculously found a job in Chicago. So that year they both moved to Chicago and I was still stuck in Philadelphia at college. Also during that year, I started to pray and read the Bible daily, every day, without missing a day. And so that's how I began my senior year. All my life my parents had lived with me in Philadelphia and now they're far away in Chicago. But at the same time I had God with me and started really owning my faith by praying to him and really keeping God in my daily life. Around October I started looking for a job for when I graduated and I had decided that I would move in with my parents to Chicago after I graduated. So I was looking for a job doing research. And throughout my undergrad years I had already had a lot of experience doing research, and I also major in biology, so I didn't think it would be much of a problem. I applied to all different universities in Chicago throughout October and November. I sent out numerous resumes, and then in, during my winter break, I came to visit my parents in Chicago, and at that time I had one or two interviews. And they sounded pretty promising, and the work, the research was very interesting. And so they said that they would get back to me in February when they knew whether or not they would have more funding. So in February they would let me know if they could support me and hire me. So I waited, but then in February they didn't have any funding, so I started to apply like mad again. I sent out a lot of resumes, and by late March, which was my spring break, I went back to Chicago to visit my parents, and I had another interview. And it sounded, again, pretty promising, and then I went back. And during these interviews, I wanted to be honest with them. What I wanted to do was work for 1 year and go back to grad school, go to grad school after that. And I wanted to be honest with them. I didn't want to lie about it. But I got the feeling that a lot of places were turning me down. Like, I didn't even get an interview with them because they require that people who work for them work at least 2 years. And that's because when you do research, it's very hard to get things accomplished in just 1 year. So most places wanted people for at least 2 years. And also then they'd have to spend less time with, you know, training new people with the turnover. So when I heard back from the interview during spring break, they said, you know, actually I was pretty sure I was going to get this job too. And because the boss of that lab was very, you know, nice to me, and they sounded interested. And so when I heard back from them, and they, you know, someone from the human resources even talked to me about the salary, then I heard back and said they weren't interested. They had found someone else, and I was completely devastated. Because by this point, all my other friends already had jobs for after they graduated, and I thought I was going to get the job. So when I called my parents, they're like, "So, you know, how's everything going?" And I just started crying. They're like, "What's wrong?" And I couldn't even get the words out because I was so sad about it. But then my dad kept encouraging me that, you know, I should just keep praying about it and rely on God. And I knew that God would help me. It was just in His time. So I kept praying about it. Even though at that time I was in, did I mention that I didn't lie? I didn't lie to them about, okay, I think I mentioned that. Sorry. That was also another reason why that lab didn't want me, was because they wanted someone to work 2 years. And so I was an emotional wreck at that time, but for some reason I was still like, okay, well, you know, I think I can, I want to go be a counselor at the SSC. And I guess I knew there was a risk that if I got a job, then they probably wouldn't let me, you know, take a week off, but I would still insist on if I got a job. So I was like, okay, well, I want to go to the SSC to be a counselor because I don't know when the next time I can serve as a counselor would be. So I went in June, and my mom was like, "Are you sure? You know, aren't you supposed to be looking for a job? You don't have insurance." but I was still determined, and I knew that God would take care of me. So afterwards, I kept applying to jobs, and this time I had kind of given up on research because, like I said, they only want people who can work for at least 2 years. And I had already heard so many, like, "Oh, I'm sorry, but you can't work 2 years. We can't take you." So I decided to expand my job search, and I applied to everything: administrative assistant, you know, assistant this, assistant that. And all I kept hearing was, "Sorry, sorry, sorry." And so that's how I passed my time between SSC and NYTS. And so when I was about to leave for NYTS, once again, my mom was like, "Are you sure you want to go? You know, you should be applying to jobs, and, you know, you don't have any insurance." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm just going to go, and I think that's a pretty good place to pray about it. So I'll just go to NYTS, focus on God, focus on praying for a job, and worry about it later." So I came to NYTS, and during the NYTS, my dad and mom came to visit because that year my dad had was diagnosed with prostate cancer, so he couldn't coordinate the NYTS. My dad is Pastor Ye, but he still came to visit Baldwin Park. This was 2 years ago, in 2004. To thank everyone for their prayers because it really helped strengthen my family and I. And when they came to visit, they also gave me a piece of paper that had a job description on it and a number to call. And they said that, you know, they went to this doctor's office to consult for prostate cancer surgery, and it so happened that this doctor he has a lot of plaques on his walls. And one of them had my undergrad school's name on it. And my mom just started making conversation with him, like, "Oh, my daughter went here." And he got really excited because his son went there. And then she was like, "Oh, my daughter just graduated. She's looking for a job." And he got really excited because he's like, "Oh, I'm looking for a research coordinator." And And so he was like, okay, well, I'm going to get my statistician to put together a job description and, you know, have her take a look at this and have her give me a call. So that's the piece of paper they gave me when they came to visit at NYTS. And this was, I guess it wasn't too shocking to me because by this point I knew the job had to come from God. It couldn't come from my own efforts anymore because I had exhausted all my resources. It just had to come from God. But then I was like, okay, well, where can it come from? My parents don't know anyone, right? but I guess through God's miraculous ways, you know, they met this doctor who happened to be looking for a research coordinator. And so during the NYTS, I tried to call him. And it's not very easy to call out during NYTS because we can only call during lunch and dinner. And even during lunch and dinner, you know, sometimes we're occupied with fasting. And then if you're fasting, you know, you don't want to be looking at your watch, so you just wait for the bell. And then when you wait for the bell, then you have like 5 minutes between, you know, the end of fast and class. And then if you're praying with your group, you don't want to just leave them and go make a phone call. If you're eating or if you know, you might have dinner duties, right? And then you have to take out the trash and then, you know, the next thing you know, dinner's over. So it took a few days to get around to calling him. When I did, you know, there's also the time difference. So I think I could only call him during lunch. So when I finally did get a chance to call, I was really surprised that he picked up. And so I got a chance to talk to him, and he's like, oh, you know, that's fine. You know, just finish your vacation or, you know, whatever you're doing in California and send me your resume and get me letters of recommendation when you get back from California. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. After having started working for him, I realized what a miracle it was that I actually got to talk to him on the phone because he's away from his office more than half the day. And when he is in his office, he's a very busy person. So he usually doesn't pick up the phone. Usually his assistants pick up the phone. So that was a miracle that I got to talk to him just in that itself. So after NYTS, later in August, I got all my paperwork together. I got my professors to send over letters of recommendation. And I thank God that they were able to do that on such short notice. And I went for an interview. I interviewed with him. I interviewed with his statistician, who's like his right-hand woman. and they hired me. I started working August 31st that year, which was good because then I had some time to, you know, after NYTS and to adjust, to, you know, get my sleep schedule right. And I really thank God because this job paid better than all the other jobs that I had applied for. This job was in a better location, and by that I mean that it was easier to get there through public transportation because I don't have a car and I have to rely on public transportation in Chicago. So everything was looking really nice, and not only that, but I got along with my coworkers, and I really enjoyed my job. As crazy as that sounds, I really enjoyed my job. You ask anyone from Philadelphia, from Chicago. when I first started my job, I was like, oh, I love this job. This is so great. You know, I'm having such a great time, and it's really interesting. My boss is so nice to me. And I really like my schedule. I really like everyone I'm working with. And they're all like, yeah, yeah, you just started your job. and then like, you know, 2 weeks later, a month later, half a year later, even until I left the job for grad school in July, I was still like, oh, thank God, I really love my job. It's so interesting, and, you know, I love everyone I work with. I get along with everyone. Thank God. And so I think the most important reason why I love my job so much was because I knew it was from God. It was a blessing. It was a miracle from God. And it's not such a big deal, I guess, to find a job, but I think it was. I think everything that we gain in life, it's, you know, we came into the world with nothing, and you know, we might have some education, we might have some, you know, help from our parents, we might know some people, but when we everything we do in life, you know, I really think that everything comes from God. So I really thank him for that. And my boss did know that I was only going to be working there for a year, and yet he still accepted me. So I wanted to share that story with everyone and give all praise and glory to God for his perfect plan and his perfect timing. And I wanted to close with a verse, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Let's all read this together. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. May all glory be unto his holy name.
Okay. Let's all bow our heads in silence. Amen. Name of the Lord Jesus, I speak. Before I begin, I'd just like to say thank God for this really wonderful opportunity to worship with my US brothers and sisters. My name's Anessa Liu. I'm from the UK, Cambridge. You'd probably tell from my accent. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'll try and speak slower. I'm sorry. Okay. So I'd like to share with you some of the experiences that I had as a university student. I didn't go to university with a church. There was no campus fellowship. It was just myself and, thank God, two other brothers and sisters who dwindled down to no brothers and sisters to my third year, not because they left the church, but because of leaving that area or what have you. So, like placement years and what have you. In my first year, so I'd like to share with you some things that really happened in my first year, and that is a year that I don't think I'll forget very soon. Being from the Cambridge Prayer House, the Prayer House is actually my home, and I grew up there. It's very difficult to skip Sabbath because once I tried locking myself in the toilet, and I could hear everybody downstairs praying, and I was like, gotta go down. And plus my mum's hand is very long, and she wouldn't let me leave the house if it was Saturday. So I've pretty much always had Sabbath days at the prayer house or in church convocations or the churches. And the first time I had Sabbath by myself in my room, in my new flat, it was really hard. I mean, I had had 18 years. I'm not going to calculate how many Sabbaths that is. But I had 18 years of having Sabbath with people, telling me what Bible passages to read, how long I'm going to pray for, what I'll be doing today. And then suddenly I was faced with my Bible, which had a little bit of dust on it, quite bad, and the hard, not very nice carpet to kneel on. And I thought to myself, okay, this is scary. What do I do? So I fumbled with my Bible. I tried to find some verses to read. I tried to, you know, get some encouragement. I read a few chapters, and I was like, that wasn't too bad, okay. And I knelt down to pray, and I just burst into tears. I didn't know what to do. I could only hear my own voice say, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I could only hear my own voice pray with the Holy Spirit. And usually, there's like my family, there's like, you know, people around me. And it was, I felt very lonely. Even though that's, you might say, well, you weren't lonely, you had the Holy Spirit with you and God was there, but, which is true. But I think I hadn't quite spiritually matured at that point, and I was still very dependent on the, you know, my situation at home, which meant it was very easy for me to come to church. So it was a very, very difficult time. And as I mentioned before, there were two others with me. So thank God, a preacher actually contacted me by email, saying there's a brother, he's doing his placement at the same city you're in, and there's a sister, who I don't think you know, but, you know, meet up together, you guys should have fellowship. And so we did. And I didn't know these two very well. We didn't know each other at all, really. And we just sort of were united by just one thing, and that was being in Christ and being in the Jesus Church. So I really thank God that there were some other people with me there. Otherwise, I think it would have been very tough for me, especially in the first few months. I just want to share with you a few things that we did in our Sabbath, because I believe some of you of actually studying away from church, and it's quite difficult for you to get to church, or some of you may have campus fellowships. So some of the things we did was we had Bible study together. We dug out our old YTTC notes, which is the UK version of NYTS. We looked over them. We got some Bible study guides from our local church and brought them with us to university, and that was really good. We read Mana magazine, which is really lovely. Listened to sermons online. Actually, no, that's a complete lie, sorry. We didn't listen to sermons online. We didn't actually know there were any sermons online. But in my third year, when it was just me, that's what I did for Sabbath. We really tried to structure things. Like, we met up every Saturday, and we started in the name of Jesus. We had our prayers. We said, okay, let's pray for this amount of time. Let's share what we're going to pray about. And so even though I think all three of us are quite inexperienced in any of this kind of, you know, thing, God really helped us mature a lot more when it came to our own faith. We were able to really strengthen each other, pull each other up, encourage each other, you know, exam hell, what am I going to do? And, you know, the sister would be like, don't worry about it, let's pray. It's like, okay. And after the prayer, it was good, it was great. In my third year, when it was just me, because the sister had gone for a placement year, and the brother was no longer, he was graduated already, so he had left. I thank God I had the opportunity to do some work for Mana, editing devotionals. And so on that Saturday, every Saturday, I would just devote the entire day to working on devotionals I had to edit for our Mana editor, Joanne. And I remember very specifically one time my housemate downstairs was having a party. And there was really loud music. And I was like, God, turn the church music up, you know. And the hymns would be blasting out. And I'm like, excellent, hope no one else can hear. Because we find hymns very easy to listen to. But I've noticed that my friends, when they listen to hymns, they're like, what kind of music is this? This is very strange. They're just not used to listening to it. So I was kind of thinking, well, I hope I don't really disturb anyone. At the same time, please no one come in, kind of thing. And as it happened, two of my friends came in, and they were like, we don't really know what's going on downstairs. There's like a scary party. Can we hang out with you? And I was like, you know, Mana magazines splayed out everywhere, Bible verses, Bible hymn book, you know, church music in the background. And I was like, okay. But I'm doing like some church work, because it's like Saturday, and they're like, oh, that's fine. We just want to, you know, hide from downstairs. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And so I was, you know, typing away and editing. And my beer-swilling, weed-smoking friend sat on my bed and started reading the Bible. And I was like, what's going on? I mean, you know, this to my friend, weed is his God. You all know what weed is, right? Okay, I don't know if it's like a different word in the US, sorry. language differences. Okay. And my other friend, who's a strict atheist, started flipping through the Mana magazine, and I was like, wow, this is really amazing. I wonder if she can help me with my devotional, because she's an English student too. So I asked her to read what I was, you know, working on, and amazingly, thank God, she helped me edit a devotional. and it was just amazing. I think my room just, I don't know, they just decided to come in. Maybe they had this feeling that it would be a peaceful kind of place to be in, even though I was, like, you know, furiously working away. But I think, I don't know, for some reason they just decided to come into my room for no reason at all. There are other rooms to go to, but I really thank God that even though I've tried very hard to preach them and with no avail, just out of their own heart, you know, I would never imagine my friend would open the Bible and start reading and being genuinely interested and not just look at it and be like, what is this rubbish sort of thing? So yes. But anyway, back to the first year. Yes, so as I said, there were three of us, a brother, a sister called Susan, and myself. And not only were there just three of us worshipping together, we would sometimes have our Bible studies in my room. And I was living with four other girls. And I think they're kind of, I think they were from very small kind of villages in the UK. So not only had they never met a Chinese girl who would speak without an accent, they'd never come across a Chinese Christian. And I remember we would sometimes have meals together and I would do silent prayers. And, you know, I thought, you know, most people are okay, you know, with quite open about religion. But surprisingly, they would say to me things like, oh, so what are you praying about then, huh? And I'm like, what, you're meant to be nice people. Why are you being mean? but really, you know. I would continue doing my silent prayers and try and make them a bit more discreet, but they'd always be watching me, and they'd always be challenging me. They'd be like, so what are you praying to your God then? You know, and I was like, wow, I thought this kind of behavior was, you know, back in the day, not now. And over the months of my first year, they really didn't like me very much. You know, they would always find some kind of excuse to, I don't know, sort of, we had like a group meeting and they said I was taking too many showers in the day, which is bizarre, I only take one. they would complain about the way I cooked, the way I ate, the way I did my laundry, all these kind of excuses to make me feel very, like, you know, bullied. And I was like, wow, what's going on? This is really painful, you know, because most of the time you make friends with the people you live with. They're the first people you meet. You know, you spend a lot of time with them. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, they were clearly not my friends and they weren't, you know, respecting me at all in any shape or form. And I remember when the brother and the sister and I were praying together, one of them banged on the door really loudly and actually came into the room. And thank God, I hope she was a bit scared off. But she didn't say anything, and then she left. And then another group meeting ensued, and they said, we don't want you to pray anymore. We think it's, you know, it's too disturbing. We've spoken to all our friends, and we all agree that... yeah, you just stop doing whatever you're doing. And I was like, this is just crazy and bizarre, you know? It's just, okay, I'll see what I can do. And so from then on, of course, I mean, we weren't praying like super loud or anything, but tried to tone it down. Yeah. So in the first year, I think for me, it was very difficult. It was difficult to pray naturally. It was difficult to share anything with them. They were very... if I can use the word persecutory, but yes. So, that was a very, very difficult time for me because I'd never really experienced anything like that. It felt very lonely, and the only person I could really rely on was actually just God, because I wasn't going to stop. I made the determination, you know, I'm not going to stop praying just because some uncouth girls next to me are, you know, banging on my door and asking me to stop. I shall, you know, carry on. yes, and there was one time, I think this is quite kind of, I don't know, telling, but Susan, the sister, said to me one day, why don't we have a Friday night Bible reading fellowship? I think that'd be really good, because we only meet up on Saturday. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's just try this out. And we spoke to the brother, and the brother was like, unfortunately, I have to work, so I'll meet you guys on Saturday as usual, and you guys can, you know, have your, you know, just start without me, and then I'll try and make it next week. So this was the first time that it was just me and Susan. We'd always been three before then. We'd always been three. And I need to tell you the way my room is laid out for you to kind of understand what happened later. So my room is quite large. I have my bed on... the right-hand side, and there's a bay window, and it was nighttime, and I hadn't drawn the curtains. I just left them open, because there's, like, nice trees outside, and I was like, oh, okay. And there's a table in front of my bay window, and as is custom, we always pray towards the outside. Yeah, outside. And for some reason, my chair was facing towards... It wasn't facing towards the table, it was facing towards us as we prayed. Okay. So we knelt down, and we started praying. And maybe about 1 minute into my prayer, I know this sounds very cheesy, but I saw the devil sat on the chair, cross-legged, watching me. And a lot of people say to me, how do you know? Was it just kind of like, you know, a shadow, like someone moving? And I was like, no, really, when you close your eyes, you can't see anything apart from a bit of red and like green bits. You know, it's just, yeah, you try it out, really. You can only see, like, you know, not that much. But I could actually see like an entire outline of a person sitting cross-legged in front of me. And moreover, I felt real, like, this is so cheesy, but like darkness and like real kind of hate kind of like emanating towards me. And my first thought was, yeah, this is really bad. This is a very bad situation to be in. What's going on? Sort of thing. And then my second thought was, oh, rubbish, what am I going to do? Nah. And I really thank God. I think God knew I was panicking a lot at this point. And he kind of shook me, and he was like, get your act together. Come on now. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, hang on a minute. Number one, I'm baptized in the name of Jesus. I don't belong to the devil. I belong to Jesus. So the devil can't really touch me. Number two, I'm praying with the Holy Spirit. Ha ha. So I was like, this is very, very good. I'm in a very good situation, actually. And I thought to myself, if I don't get out of this horrible attitude of being scared and frightened, then something really bad is going to happen. So just think God thoughts. God. And I remember the words, the letters G-O-D, like scrolling in my eyes. As I was praying, I was like praying really hard. And I really thank God, I don't know, but yeah. All of a sudden, I stopped seeing the devil. And all I could think about was God. He just filled my thoughts, he filled my eyes, he filled my heart. I was suddenly praying with like so much more power than I've prayed before. It was all kind of like gushing out of me. And in fact, what started off as a very scary prayer, it turned out to be one of the most wonderful prayers I've actually had, because all I could see was God. And in the end, I felt really good. I was like, oh man, that was a really good prayer, despite the first bit. Yeah. And so after the prayer, I turned to Susan and I said, did you like notice anything kind of strange? And she was like, yes, I did. And I was like, oh no, what happened? And I didn't tell you this bit, but when I could see the figure of Satan on the chair, I only saw from like the neck down. So I didn't see his head or anything. Like, thank God. Sorry. But like, I only saw like the neck down. And I turned to Susan and she said, well, I saw like Satan's head trying to come into the window, and it was like batting itself against the window. And I was like, blimey. I don't mean to be like too funny, okay? But like, yeah, seriously, double attack. So I obviously saw the head bit, and then she saw I saw the body bit, and she saw the head bit. And she was really frightened. Like, she was so shook up. And we spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time comforting her. I have to say, some teacups were involved. But yes, afterwards, she calmed down, and we prayed again. And I think she was better. But there's one thing that I've learned from this experience, truly, is that even though I may have felt alone, and maybe this is a weakness that Satan felt that he could attack both myself and this sister, I always remember that, and I hope that I can encourage you with this too, that whatever Satan throws your way, or however terrible things get, don't forget who you are. You are baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay? You guys are his children. You're protected. You don't belong to Satan anymore. He can't touch you unless you give him ground to. Okay? And the Holy Spirit will definitely give you strength. I think that really was a point where I was like, wow, God is really with me. And it doesn't matter if my flatmates are horrible to me or if they're treating me badly. I really felt that in my prayer. And in fact, for the rest of my 3 years, I just learned to really keep my eyes on God. And as long as I keep my eyes on him, then whatever happens, I know it sounds very cheesy, but whatever struggles I go through, he can really carry me and give me strength. We are different from our friends. We're separate, we're apart. When you're at university, there's no one to tell you what to do. Your parents aren't there to cook meals for you. No one's going to tell you how long to pray for. No one is going to tell you which Bible passage to read, whether you should kneel down, even. No one's going to tell you, go to that campus fellowship. You know, brothers and sisters may encourage you and say, why don't you come? But ultimately, it's your decision whether you make it to that fellowship or not, whether you decide to take that two-hour train journey to church or have a lion. And I think you really have to make a decision now. I believe a lot of you are going to go into university. So I hope you can make a choice of what you want to do. And once you've made your choice, stick with it. Decide and be firm with your decision. And once you make the decision to stay in the Lord, I don't think any of you will regret it at all. At times it will be difficult. You'll feel like you're struggling against yourself, like you'll be battling temptations. Oh, I have an essay due in. I really don't have time to go to church today. Or I just don't have the motivation. I can't be bothered. All these kind of things, and it's so easy to wake up and it's Saturday, and you're like, I don't really feel like it, but I can go next week. But I hope that the choices that you make aren't like this. I hope that you don't take the easy option to do that, because when you do open your Bible and you do spend 2 or 3 hours in complete dedication to Him on that Sabbath day, you feel so full and so satisfied by the Word of God that you really won't regret it. So my encouragement to you and from my experience is keep your eyes on God. Sometimes it will feel really impossible, and sometimes decisions you have to make are very difficult, and you might feel very torn, and you might not know what to do, but I think by being steady in the Lord and really relying on the Holy Spirit, and we have such a great opportunity here, 2 weeks of getting close to God, you know, really establishing a really great relationship with Him, you know, studying the Bible, constantly devouring His words, thinking over them, meditating over them. I really thank God for that opportunity. So, I think all of you can do it, and you can do it all because it is Christ who strengthens you. So, here ends my testimony. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank God.
I enjoy UK accent. But I are too fast.
Yes, loneliness could be a temptation. And we remember Joseph when he was sold in Egypt, and he felt loneliness too. But how to solve the loneliness when we feel lonely? I think the first one, we have to read the Bible. And the second, just pray to God to fill you with peace and with His love. And if those two still cannot solve your loneliness, then you have to talk to marriage coordinator. Sister John Ye, she testified how God helped her to find out a job. Yeah, I think we have to remember a verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I think you could remember. God is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So God's way always is higher than our ways. And His thoughts also higher than ours. His way always is so wonderful. It's beyond our imagination and beyond our expectation, beyond our understanding. Sister Joanne Wu. Try to read my notes. She testified that how she converted to TJC by her classmate, Erica. I admire Erica because Now imagine, and then think about this. How many classmates now you bring into our TTC during your study in college? How many so far? None? How many? One, two, right? But Erica, she has love. She has love. She loves people's soul. She loves her friend, not just physically, also spiritually. This is very important. Imagine, after this life, only two ways to go. The first place is heaven. The second is hell. Either one, hell and heaven. No third location to go for us. So if you think about those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, then the end have to go to hell. And it's so terrible in hell. So if we think about this, then we should love our friend, love our relatives, our classmates. So now do our best, invite them to join our service. Even if they don't like, they don't show interest in, it's okay, and just do our best. And after she came to our church, and in the beginning, it's always a struggle for newcomers because they could not understand the word of God without some special guiding or special tutoring for her. It's always difficult to understand. But God allowed us to take time to learn the word of God. Take time, don't rush. Because God said, little by little, we renew ourselves. So God allowed us to take time, so no rush. But we have to move on, not just stand still. Okay, stand still is not right. We have to move on. Now, we have to love each other so people can recognize we are God's disciple, Jesus' disciple. And how to love others? The Bible tells us, when I was a stranger, you took me in. You took me in. Not just took it in your house. Some people entertain people, entertain guests. So some people invite the stranger to his or her house. It's good. But also, when I was a stranger, then you took me into your heart. This is most important, into your heart. So all the brothers and sisters, we have to take all our brothers and sisters into our heart. Okay? We should have a mindful of everybody here. So took me into our heart. Some people always have negative thinking. Negative. And negative thinking will ruin, destroy people's life. But once we have negative thinking, it's very hard to get rid of it. Because negative thinking comes from Satan. The Bible tells us we have to be transformed by renewing the way we think. Okay. And we have to love people to the end, not after our member received baptism, and then that's it, no more. So we have to care of them continually. She testified after she finished studied, and she only has $200 left. 200 for me, it's a lot, right? Yeah. Because remember, the widow used a handful of flour and little oil in a jar to provide Elijah for how many years? 3 years. Right? Little oil and little flour to provide Elijah and his companion. Elijah may have some students, right, or companions. So many people, 3.5 years, a God's miracle. because God is everything. So if we rely on God, then God will provide us. Okay. Thank God. This time, our three sisters and brother, take courage and be strong. Be strong. We are right, brothers. Okay. Praying signs. Thank God.